The Squiddy Nurse Podcast episode is brought to you by healthcareproviders.ca.
Attention, hospital employees and retirees in Canada.
Picture this, a benefit plan designed for casual and part-time hospital employees and retirees who aren't covered by their hospital's group health plan. Introducing Healthcare Providers Group Insurance Plan, a friendly partner dedicated to your health and well-being. With affordable plan premiums and an exceptional support team, Healthcare Providers, also known as HCP, is dedicated to helping you every step of the way. Enrolling is easy, and you'll have access to a wide range of health and basic dental benefits from day one. Already have coverage through your spouse? HCP still has your back. For less than $32 a month, the Signature Package, which includes life, long-term disability, accidental death, disease, and dismemberment, provides valuable income protection and peace of mind for the unexpected. Take charge of your health and financial security today. Visit healthcareproviders.ca to learn more.
Is this thing on?
I think they can hear us a bit better now. Do you think they are ready to change the status quo?
It's one thing to get them listening, but now let's get them to act.
You're now about to witness the strength of nursing knowledge.
Hi, and welcome to the Gritty Nurse Podcast, an unfiltered and unapologetic podcast which discusses health and healthcare. My name is Amy.
My name is Sarah.
And we are your hosts.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or our YouTube page. Please rate and review us.
Make sure you get our book, The Wisdom of Nurses, coming April 2nd, 2024. There's no better gift than giving the wisdom of nurses to nurses during nursing week. Welcome to the Gritty Nurse Podcast. My name is Amy.
And my name is Sarah.
And we are your hosts for today. So, controversial topic, maybe not. We'll see where the shoe lands. About what is the hardest subspecialty?
Ooh, but before,
before we get into it, because I'm biased already, run the clip so you can see why we're going to talk about this episode.
There is one specialty in nursing that is undoubtedly the hardest, and I'm not going to tussle with anybody on this. It's the one specialty that is every single specialty wrapped up into one. It's OR, it's ICU, there's always psych, there's peds, and there's adult. Not to mention, they are always sued the absolute most. ICU and CVICU, this is not your time to shine. Labor and delivery nurses, come to the front of the room. If there was one clinical that ever made me doubt my ability to be a nurse or even want to be in healthcare, it was L&D. And if you want to be technical, L&D technically does ER too because they triage. That was the one specialty that I never ever wanted to do. I always used to wonder why on travel assignments and strikes, L&D nurses used to make so much money. And now I know. It is the hardest.
So we just saw that clip. And of course, I'm going to be biased in this episode. And there was tons of comments and from many other nurses from subspecialties that were agreeing with her. But before I take it over, Sarah, what are your thoughts?
I'm a little biased. So I'm going to say that because I started my career in L&D, I would say that is a super stressful environment where things can go wrong at the drop of a hat. I was in situations where we thought everything was fine. And then the woman's water broke and then she had a prolapsed cord.
Yeah.
So, things can go wrong really fast. I also think L&D is one of only two areas where you literally have no control over who comes through the door. So the first one being the emergency department, the second one being labor and delivery, where you literally have to take who comes through the door and you don't have much control over when or how that happens.
Yeah. I am a labor and delivery nurse through and through. I'm pregnant again. So, I mean, I'm clearly running the game here now, but I think the other piece is like, You are dealing with two patients, right? Most cases, when you have your not one-to-one assignments, but you might have like seven patients. When you're in L&D, because it's so high acuity, you literally have mom that you're looking after and you have babe. And it's very challenging when you're looking after someone that you can't see. So yes, you have a tracing. We call this it's a very good guide. It doesn't give you a clear clinical snapshot of exactly what's happening, but we do use the fetal tracing to kind of base our nursing assessments and judgments on. But yeah, you got two patients and one patient that you can't see. So I think it's pretty tricky.
Yeah, I'm also biased because I spent some time in level three NICU, so I would say that's very stressful too, because you're dealing with the extreme end of prematurity of things that have gone wrong of multiple births, and there's so much equipment that you have to learn. And I had patients at one point that were on 10 different IV medications at the same time. And when you're dealing with infants that could be under a pound even, there's a very high risk of error when you're making when you're giving medications, when you're doing anything. And let alone the fact that you have very concerned parents, rightfully so, that want to know all the time what's happening, and we try to update them the best we can. And it's hard because the outcomes aren't always good and parents aren't always ready to handle that, right? So there's a lot of things that we deal with in addition to complex, I would say, family situations. There could be language barriers. There could be parents that aren't able to come very often. They have other kids to care for. It's really emotionally stressful to leave your baby with someone every night. And I think that's also really stressful. So, things can go wrong at the drop of a hat. High litigation rate as well in this area.
Yeah, so like Sarah was kind of saying, so again, you're really looking at a combination of having skills of an ED nurse because you do have to triage in labor and delivery. So, again, as patients are coming in, we have to assess who is the most pressing patient that we need to look at. Is it your hypertensive? Is it your gestational diabetes? Is it someone who has chorio? Is it someone whose water's broken? Is it your MALTIP, your PRIMIP? We have to do all that triaging. And sometimes it can be really tricky because you're just like, wow, these both of these women need sections, or both of these women are dire, or oh my God, here comes the cord. I mean, yeah, we have to triage. So that is kind of where we have our emergency kind of acuity sense. The other piece is the ICU sense. And I think this is where Sarah was kind of getting at the fact that, again, our patients can become very sick at the drop of a dime. For the most part, birth is a normal, healthy, natural process. But sometimes it can flip very quickly. And you have to kind of put on this completely different hat where now you're taking, not that you were taking things seriously before, but you are. Your level of skill and assessment and judgment has to be very, very high. And your patients can flip from being a normal, healthy woman to a patient who needs to be intubated, have surgery, and you're calling different teams in. So again, high acuity, high stress, your ED hat, your ICU hat, and then your trauma hat too, because again, we're you might be dealing where you have to call down for blood products. You're calling your mass, what is it called? Your massive
Mass
colon
transfusion protocol.
omega. So it's like there's so many different things wrapped into one. And again, yeah, we do receive trauma patients. I remember working at a particular hospital where we had a gunshot, a pregnant patient who was shot by a gun. And again, even though ED will deal with the trauma, we deal with a pregnant patient. So again, just so many different things and layers when it comes to dealing with a patient who's OBS. The other thing, I think Sarah mentioned it, when stuff goes wrong, it goes really, really bad. Very, very scary. And you have to react very quickly because I don't know if people know this. I'm sorry if you're pregnant and you didn't want to know, but there is actually like a cut to save time. So for example, if mom is unconscious, we actually have in our carts a blade, and the blade is the sole purpose is to get the baby out in under 2 minutes.
And so there's the L&D part, and then usually the infant in that case would go to the NICU. So these are two specialties that do work pretty closely together. And one of the things about working at an ICU is making sure that everything is clean and sterile because there's such a high risk of infection to neonates. I actually read a report recently that there was a death of a neonate, and it was attributed to microorganisms in a nurse's fake nails. And I remember when I worked in NICU, we had nail polish remover on the unit because they were really, really strict about it. You could not have fake nails, you could not have nail polish, and it's for that reason, because something as little as a microorganism that's on your nails could kill an infant. And so we're really dealing with high, life and death situations all the time.
100%. So I just, I kind of think back to like labor, like I'm not a big person where I do my nails, as you could probably tell, but I do remember seeing nurses that had like, the press-ons, the acrylics, whatever. And I'm just like, you gotta go give a vaginal exam.
Oh,
Like,
gosh.
how much more uncomfortable is that? Yes, we have our gloves on and stuff, but still, like, ouch. And just not very, very, from an infection control standpoint, great. Again, you mentioned that it's a place where litigations occur. So labor and delivery is the most highly litigious area. I can tell you, I've been in two instances where I have been named in a lawsuit, not because it was any care that I gave, but particularly when it comes to labor and delivery. If your name is on the chart, you are going to be a part of the lawsuit. And this is where, when I would say document, 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 document is so important, it is critical because in here in Canada, we have up to 21 years in which someone can actually file a case against you, the hospital, and the organization in relation to litigation, in relation to your birth or in relation to the experience that you had. 21 years is a very long time. And if your documentation isn't like you read it, like you just did it yesterday, then you are up the creek without a paddle. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah, and I used to re review cases all the time of things that went wrong. So I can say that you're not going to remember what happened 21 years ago, let alone maybe even 2 years ago. So documentation for sure.
This podcast episode is brought to you by healthcareproviders.ca. Attention hospital HR in Canada. Are you in search for the perfect insurance solution for your part-time and casual employees? Look no further. Meet Healthcare Providers Group Insurance Plan, your go-to option for ensuring the well-being of your team. With Healthcare Providers, also known as HCP, you're not just providing insurance, you're offering peace of mind. HCP's comprehensive coverage includes medical, dental, and vision benefits designed to keep your part-time employees healthy and happy. There's even a package that includes life, long-term disability, accidental death, disease and dismemberment coverage for those who have already had benefits through their spouse. It's time to bridge the gap between full-time and part-time staff benefits. With Healthcare Providers Group Insurance Plan, you can level the playing field and show your commitment to all of your team members. Join the community of over 90 plus forward-thinking hospital HR managers who've made the smart choice. Visit healthcareproviders.ca today to discover how HCP can help support your team in a meaningful way.
So I did some research and I found other examples of what people think are hard specialties.
Wait,
Oh,
let's not
okay.
finish in litigy.
But I'm super excited.
Okay, we'll get back.
Okay,
I swear.
okay.
I think the other piece is charting is intensive. So what's the charting like in NICU?
Well, it is intensive, but luckily we were when I was there, we had moved to electronic charting, so it did save some time. But I will say that when you make an error, it's not as simple as scratching it out. You have to delete it and then redocument the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it is very intensive. There's very specific in and outs, medications, weights, things that have to be very precise. And of course, you have to know your patients in and out because you have to do daily rounds.
right and I,
Yeah.
and the reason why I say labor and delivery charting is very intensive, depending on the woman's level of acuity. So let's say she's normal, low risk delivery, and you're using intermittent auscultation, you might be charting every hour until they're in the very different stages, latent phase, active phase of labor. But then you can go from Q1 hours to every 30 minutes, then to every 15 minutes when they're in active labor, then every 5 minutes
Yep.
when they're pushing. So like, and you're still like, you're charting, but you're still doing stuff. So it's like super, super multitasking, and it's very intense. I always use to think to myself, when I'm getting down to that last like 5 minutes and I'm trying to chart while she's pushing, trying to help her, trying to support her, trying to support the spouse. And I'm like, oh, I got a chart. Oh my gosh, there's a contraction here. What is this? There's a D, and it's intense.
There is so much
So
charting. I
the
will
charting
say
is
so much
intense.
charting after a birth happens, obviously, because there's a new person being brought into the world and there's a lot of paperwork that has to be done, even for a regular routine birth, never mind one where things are going wrong.
Right. And I was fortunate to do paper charting before OB Trace View came in and we had electronic labor delivery charting. I used to chart on paper for all this, which was wild. Actually, I almost feel like it was faster in
Well,
some
those tick
cases.
boxes are
Yeah, it's
faster,
like do,
right?
do, do, or you're like writing in your notes really quickly. But again, the charting is super intensive. But let's swing it back to you, where you said you saw some stuff about where other people feel like their subspecialties are pretty high too.
Right. So I came across a couple articles. So one mentioned critical care nursing. So nurses in ICUs dealing with severely ill or unstable patients. I think during the pandemic, that was kind of brought to light
Right.
that a lot of nurses that were in these settings that were supposed to be one-to-one ended up having two or even three patients, which was super unsafe. And even the fact that, you know, when codes were happening, like code blues, when someone is not breathing or they have no pulse, that they had to decide in that moment. Who were they going to save, which is really stressful.
Right.
The other one was emergency rooms. So working in an emergency room involves responding to urgent and high stress situations, often with limited information and time to make critical decisions. Labor and delivery, which we talked about, of course, and operating room. I was surprised to see operating room, but it is a specialty which requires a lot of skill. Things can go wrong re relatively quickly, requires precision, attention to detail, and the ability to handle unexpected
See,
complications.
I'm going to bring it back to OND again because I
Yes.
feel like whenever, even in the ICU, because I remember if it's like this patient might be in for a cold or they're in for something unrelated, like something related to their chest, and ICU gives us a call or ED calls us and they're like, she's pregnant. It's like, okay, but like, do we need to come down? Oh, yes, you labor and delivery, you got to come down here. So, like, whenever there was a pregnant patient on any other unit, they needed us.
Oh, and you
And
know
they were
what?
like, please take her. We're like, no, she's got a cold. She goes to you.
They
We don't need her.
would really be confused about like who was the actual attending doctor, right? Because it was like they'd be like, well, she's pregnant, but she actually came in for this.
She comes in
And
for a
then it
medical
was
issue.
this
It's a
like
medical issue.
back and forth about who was actually responsible
Right.
for this person, which I think can make things really gray.
Yeah. And even just remembering, looking at some of the comments, people were just like, as soon as you saw that pregnant belly, people were just terrified because, again, it's not something that most folks are comfortable with. So, I mean, whenever there was a belly, they were like, oh, we need L&D involved. And sometimes it's like, we actually don't need to be involved. But again, we were always happy to be there. And I think the other piece that I had was the families. You did mention it. It's a double-edged sword. So sometimes the families can be the best part about labor delivery. Sometimes the families can be very challenging. And I think it's, you know, sometimes the onus is put on us to say, hey, you know, I really actually don't want my mother-in-law here, or I really don't want this person here. Can you triage the room or help get people out of the room? And I never had a problem with saying,
Oh yeah,
hey, can you leave?
I was always saying, you know, you are my patient, so you tell me if you want them out and I will make sure they leave because you need your rest and you need to feed your baby and do all the things that you normally do.
But then again, sometimes the families are amazing because you get to see all sorts of cultural practices. You get to see the interactions. And of course, when a family member's helping the woman during this time, during birth, I think it's such a rewarding and beautiful experience. And again, although labor and delivery can be traumatic, it can be rewarding too. So, you know, whether it's from a birth to a stillbirth, I think both experiences, although they're very different, can be rewarding in different ways in terms of the way that we handle them. And again, if you have an exceptional labor and delivery nurse, the way that they're handled can be very rewarding for not just the patient, but for the family. Because the one thing that I do remember is they always remembered us, or they always remembered me at least, where they would come back. Like, I remember meeting someone who at a floor shop. She's like, you delivered my baby. I'm like, oh my God, I don't remember, but I hope I did a good job. And I think that they always will remember your face. They'll always remember the experience that they had with you because, again, that's an experience that they're sharing with you. So, again, I am super biased where I would say that labor delivery is probably one of the hardest subspecialties.
Yeah, and actually, come to think of it, all the other specialties listed on this list have some connection to labor and delivery. So, you know, there are pregnant women that go to the ED. There are pregnant women that have to have surgeries other than C-sections
Right.
that might need to go to the OR. There are pregnant women that need oncology nursing. So, oncology was a number one that was listed because I think emotionally it's really hard. Like, I remember doing a rotation on hematology oncology, and half of us that were doing this rotation, we would just leave the room crying
Oh no.
sometimes because of the bad news that patients would have, and sometimes really young patients. So I think, you know, there's some interaction there too. Pediatric intensive care nursing was another one listed, similar to adult critical care, but with the added complexity of caring for critically ill children,
Yeah.
which is really hard because sometimes kids don't make it, and that can be super rough to hear. So I think that's the main rundown. And I think the main thing that I want to say is that just because a specialty is hard doesn't necessarily make it better than
Right.
any other specialty. And I think we really need to stop in nursing with this one-upping each other or thinking like we're better than another specialty because it's harder or it takes longer to learn.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, when we're looking at the various different roles that each nurse has to play, we all have roles to play. Like, I mean, I don't want to be in respirology. I never thought, I mean, I guess fluids were okay, but sputum wasn't. I don't know, it's kind of weird. Like, suctioning just was not like trachs. No, I just couldn't. But for whatever reason, I could deal with amniotic fluid and poo. But I mean, I think what we have to recognize is that, with whatever subspecialty or not subspecialty that you're in, we all come to the table with our various different levels of expertise and skill, and that we should all value each other in terms of the work that we're doing. So thank you to all of the nurses from various different subspecialties. Medicine is a specialty. I'd say some people say it's not, because again, med-surg nurses do it all. But again, I think, like Sarah said, we shouldn't be one-upping each other. But again, at the end of the day, I still think L&D is a bitch to work in. It's really challenging. But thank you to all the nurses out there working in your various professions, because yeah, there's places that I would not want to work in and I would never want to be in. And thank you for being in those places, because we need you there too.
Definitely. And I think if you're a new grad listening or a new nurse and you want to go into a subspecialty, go into the subspecialty you want to because you don't have to follow any certain path to get to where you are. Amy and I just happened to fall into subspecialties and we were happy there. But if you are being told, for example, to go into med surg and that's not what you want to do, you don't have to. And if you want to, then go for it. Really, it's up to you what you want to make of your nursing career.
100%. And again, you don't have to be in acute care. There are many different other places to go. Community, politics, very like just wherever you want, public health, you find the path that you want to be on and make sure that you're happy where you are. Because at the end of the day, if you're not happy in the specialty that you're in or whatever nursing practice in, you're probably not going to be the greatest nurse either. So make sure you find a place where you're happy. You don't have to choose med surg to start unless you want to be there. And again, our job is to do the best that we can and to make sure that people have be better healthcare outcomes. So pick something you love.
Thanks for listening. Stay gritty.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Gritty Nurse Podcast. If you have any suggestions or want to hear a specific topic, email us at grittynurses@gmail.com. That's grittynurses@gmail.com.
We are also speakers and upcoming authors available for engagements related to advocacy, nursing, mental health, and health policy. Please connect with us.